Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Third and 16. Mahomes rolling out. Looking. Firing. Intercepted. Picked up by Cooper DeJean. Gets a block. DeJean is in. Touchdown.
Back and reach Patrick Guys. You can see the break. And this young stud, Cooper DeJean, another rookie making a huge impact.
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, it's Anthony Herron, former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye, football analyst for 670 The Score, Fox Sports, Sirius XM, Big Ten Network, and NBC Sports. Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
Shot. Silly! For the better part of the next 3 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. It was a game last night. It was a sporting event. It was an entertainment spectacular last night, but it was not exactly what was expected when it came to the 59th edition of the Super Bowl between the Eagles and the Chiefs. Eagles absolutely trounced Kansas City 40-22. It wasn't even that close. Most of us thought that the game would be close and competitive, thought there was, even a likelihood that Philadelphia would have a lead throughout. That was certainly my expectation. That is what I've been telling folks on a wide variety of platforms leading into the game. But in the end, I figured that, Kansas City would find a way to counterpunch and Mahomes would be within striking distance. And then he'd make some key and critical plays late to find a way for the Chiefs to win, just because that is what they tend to do, not only throughout this season with all these one-score wins that they've had, but what they've tended to do in Super Bowls as well. They tend to fall behind in Super Bowls, and then they tend to come back and win in said Super Bowls. But that was not the case last night. It was, I know there's a lot of talk about whether or not there should be like a national holiday or a national day of rest or something like that the day after the Super Bowl. But after last night, I would imagine many of you got to bed at a reasonable hour, because this was not a contest that had a lot of drama in the fourth quarter. Most dramatic thing in the Super Bowl last night was a halftime show. We can come back around to that later on. I'm Anthony Herron here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. A fantastic lineup of guests that we'll have for you throughout the show that Alex Kuhn has booked for you. We've got Herb Howard. He's going to join me in just a few short minutes. Also talk to my guy Mike Yam of the NFL Network and Andy Martinez. We'll get to some Cubs later on in the show as well, as they've reported for spring training. So we'll talk some baseball here as well. But, yeah, that was not a that was not an evening full of drama. Like, we had the plan, and I told you guys when I was on, what was it, Friday night, I think I was on, and I was talking to you guys about the fact that we didn't really know yet, even at that point, Friday night, what we were going to do, what the sort of plans were for my wife and I and our son, and how we were going to take in the big game. Especially, you know, we made the move a few months ago. We're out here in the burbs, but didn't necessarily know if it was going to be like a Super Bowl extravaganza. We invite some folks over to the house, but then we got a whole lot of family members who are sick. So we figure, well, no point in trying to get everybody over to our place and have them get all of us sick. So we're not going to do that. And, you know, we just had our son getting over some sickness as well. So we were trying to come up with some plans. I solicited some ideas from you guys about food and about location, and all that worked out pretty well. Got some good suggestions. But then in the end, what we ended up doing was we went over to a friend's house, and it was actually a really kind of fortuitous circumstance where we moved out to the burbs. We actually had one of our son's very closest friends from schools he had been into, pre-K and kindergarten in the city, and they actually moved really near us in the burbs as well. Not because we moved, but they just kind of moved to the same area we did. And so we just went and met up with them. And to be honest, I don't really, you know, they're not like old and dear friends, but we get along with them really well. So it's kind of an opportunity to kind of keep growing the relationship between the two families. And our son gets along really well with their son. So we went over to their house. They got a nice new house in the burbs. We went over and hung out with them for, they had kind of a, you know, kind of a, you know, a quaint sort of intimate little Super Bowl party. They had some of their family, a couple other friends over. And that was a bit of a prerequisite for me because, one, I wasn't sure, you know, just what our setup was going to be here, if we were going to stay here at the house, if we were going to maybe have some folks over, if we were going to, you know, partake of our little, you know, kind of home theater room that we're getting set up. It's not quite done yet, but it's coming together quite nicely. And we're trying to decide where we're going to do it, here or if we were going to go elsewhere. But they made the invitation, and it was a good size of a Super Bowl party because it was them who we know at their house, a couple of other nice family members as well, and then our sons. And I wasn't really interested in being at a Super Bowl party that had like 30 people in it, because then you end up in this circumstance where you're almost forced to socialize. And, you know, it's not like the Bears were in the game, but, you know, I do need to pay a relative amount of attention to the game. Like, I'm not taking notes snap by snap throughout the Super Bowl like I would if it were a game the Bears are playing in, because I'm coming on right afterwards for, you know, immediate post-game reaction where I got to give you all the detail in the world on everything. Like, when the Bears are playing, I got a multi-screen experience happening. I got my notebook out. I got my laptop out, taking a million notes on what, you know, sometimes what all 22 players on the field are doing and rewinding over and over again. I don't need to do that for the Super Bowl because the Bears aren't in it. And, you know, who knows? We'll talk about it throughout the show tonight if we think there's any chance on God's green earth that the Bears are going to be in the Super Bowl in the foreseeable future. But as of last night, they weren't playing in that game. But I still know I'm going to be on multiple times throughout the day, at least reacting to the game and giving you guys an opportunity to come here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and give your thoughts, your reactions to the game also. So I was a little skittish just wondering how big of a kind of Super Bowl party, an event is this going to be? Because once the group is so big, then there's kind of a requirement to interact. There's a requirement to engage and to converse, and you are inevitably going to have a number of people there who aren't really interested in the game. They're interested in the social aspect of being at a Super Bowl party. But this was perfect, what we did last night. Like, honestly, I viewed it as a little bit of a risk, not because I knew I liked the couple that we were going to. I wouldn't have okayed going over there if I didn't like the folks. I knew we liked them. I just didn't know exactly what else we were kind of getting into there. But it worked out really well because there was only, you know, handful of people or whatever, and food was good. And the dad of our son's friend is actually, he's a chef and restaurateur. So he made a couple of great dishes of his own, and then he also ordered some food in because, I mean, you know, he's having a Super Bowl party. He's a big sports fan. He doesn't want to, you know, spend the whole day working and preparing everything. So it was a good combination. Like I mentioned on the midday show earlier, he made this fantastic gumbo because, of course, the Super Bowl is in New Orleans. So it had a little bit of that, you know, that local flavor to it, that quote unquote local flavor, like as though we were in New Orleans. He made some fantastic gumbo, and I had several helpings of that because he made a bunch of it, which I loved, and I just went for bowl after bowl of that. And that actually, I was telling Alex this on Friday. I might have said it on the air too. My tendency for my Super Bowl dining habits are to graze. And I don't want to eat necessarily a meal at one time. I just want to be able to get up, go get some bite-sized things, and then kind of go about my business and then just sort of keep moving and going back and forth like that. So the first thing I attacked, I don't know how you guys do it. You can hit me up on the text line at 312-644-6767. Whatever your habits were and how well it played out for you last night during the game. First thing I attacked, and partially I tend to do this, whether it's barbecue or a party setting. I've noticed over the years that the main two places I tend to just attack the vegetables first are at Super Bowl parties and barbecue restaurants. Because I know with a barbecue restaurant, I'm going to go and I'm not usually a messy eater. I don't like to get messy when I eat. But then at barbecue restaurants, you got sauce everywhere. It's finger food all over the place. And so it's hard to avoid the mess that's going to be associated with that. And plus, it's just a big carnivorous endeavor, whether you're talking ribs and wings and chicken and you name it. But then a Super Bowl party, similar sort of thing. Not necessarily where it has to be this sort of carnivorous evening. You can have options at a Super Bowl party. But there's going to be a lot of consumption that's happening. And the level that I tend to consume at a Super Bowl party, it at least makes me feel a little bit better about that consumption if I've gotten at least a halfway decent workout in earlier in the day. And then when I get there, if I start off with the veggies. And they had a big vegetable plate with a lot of different options. So I'm just grabbing up all the veggies I can and just munching away on those early on, you know, while we're just kind of getting into the groove of the party. So that part worked out really well. And then the fact that the game itself left a little bit to be desired. So, I mean, it was intriguing to watch the way that the Eagles were starting to take the game over. But in the end, the fact that it wasn't necessarily a really competitive game after you got through the first quarter and a half, then I didn't feel as bad about stepping away again and again, like I'm going to miss something. And the positioning of the food and the TV and everything else worked out great. The most entertaining aspect of it all, because the game itself left a decent bit to be desired over the last quarter and a half here. But actually, our son and their son had their own little personal football game going for most of the time. And so you got the 2 7-year-olds. They got, you know, footballs down there and basketballs and everything else. And our son is starting to play some sports. And my wife was an All-American athlete. So she's got a, you know, she's a better athlete than me. She could have played a bunch of different things in college as a scholarship athlete and chose a sport that, you know, gave her the biggest, best opportunity to have a scholarship at Iowa. That's where we met. So, you know, our son's DNA is going to be fine for athletics, but it's frankly not something we're really pressing him on that much. He plays basketball, he swims, you know, he just played soccer for the first time a little while ago, but we don't spend a lot of extra time, like, you know, doing drills and working on his form and his technique or whatever else. But he's a very active kid. He's a, you know, big athletic kid, so he has fun. So him and his buddy is, of course, much smaller than him, but it's just the two of them playing this one-on-one football game throughout the evening, which if the game were more compelling, the action itself might have felt like a bigger distraction. But honestly, because the Eagles were dominating the game so much, their little kind of 7-year-old one-on-one football game and drawing up plays together and throwing this pass and that pass. And sometimes they're on the same team. Sometimes they're tackling each other and going one-on-one. That actually ended up being more entertaining than what was actually on television at the given time. So we enjoyed that. Now, there were a few scary moments here and there, a little bit worried about whether or not, you know, as our son is kind of slinging their son around. And, you know, there's a couple of times where you worry, like, all right, did he just injure their son? Oh, okay, good. They're made out of, like, they're held together by, like, rubber bands and super glue. They're fine. But, you know, my son's bigger than theirs. And so I've certainly been through that as the big young kid where you're kind of figuring out how strong you are, figuring out how much of a physical advantage you have on your buddies. And there's been those times in the past where I've been that kid where I took it a little bit too far. Like, you know, before we knew pro wrestling was, I'm not going to call it fake, before we knew pro wrestling was scripted, I'm like picking up my friends, suplexing them, doing DDTs, and then they're running home screaming to their parents, telling them what I did. Like, oh, I thought we were having fun. That wasn't fun for you? That was fun for me. You know, so I'm watching closely because I don't want my son to be that guy. But they had a great time doing that. So we were very entertained watching the 7-year-olds kind of, you know, walk that fine line between life and death, essentially, as they're playing their football game. And the game itself, you know, but the fact that the stars were on display, Eagles are out there, Chiefs are out there, two of the biggest brands, two of the most successful organizations in football, then, you know, you have a certain expectation for what that game is going to be. And it's in New Orleans, one of the great event cities, one of the great party cities in the country. And I thought all that came together really well. The event looked great for the most part. Now, part of this is maybe just the TV nerd in me. I don't really know what was going on with Fox's score bug. Like, out all the stuff, and I'll break down the actual action of the game, and especially as it relates to the Bears. I'll get into a little bit more of the detail on that a little later in the show. But just as far as the television production aspect of it, a couple of different things. I'll talk about Tom Brady specifically in a moment here. But just from a TV nerd kind of perspective, Fox, and you might have noticed, they ended up debuting a new score bug. Now, the score bug, for you who understand, I'm sure many of you do, is the graphics, the font that's there indicating each team that's participating in the event, how much time is left, which period of the game it's in, first quarter, second quarter, and the like, and, you know, how many timeouts are left, what score. It's giving you the information of the action that's there. Some of you, like young adults, may not know the score bug hasn't always been a thing on live sports programming, but for quite a while now, for, you know, let's call it several decades at this point, it's been a regular part of sports broadcasting, at least the better part of this century. The one Fox put up there last night, and Fox Sports has always been pretty forward thinking when it relates to their television visual presentation, the graphics package they put together, the, you know, the halo puck they tried for a while that didn't work. But there's a lot of stuff that they've tried that has worked. And usually their graphics package, their score bug, and when I was an executive with the Arena Football League for a handful of years, I was responsible for building our national TV graphics package. You know, I didn't like do the actual, you know, building of it as far as the digital aspect of putting the different file formats together and shaping it through the graphic design programs using that software and all that. But it was within my department. I was overseeing how those things got built, sending them out to our different broadcast partners, making sure they're in the proper file format to suit whether it was ESPN or CBS Sports or what have you, NFL Network. How did those graphics package look with the AFL team names and color schemes and everything else? So I've got some experience with this, is my point. The look of what Fox put out there, I was just floored by how simple it looked, how rudimentary it looked, how, I don't know, it just didn't look great. I was surprised by that because that's normally a strong suit of theirs, in my opinion. But last night, to make that debut during the Super Bowl and then, you know, to have what I found to be a bit of the odd green screen going on behind, you know, Burkhart and Brady, like, oh, yeah, well, they are on Bourbon Street, the green screen behind them when we take the shot of the book. I don't know. It was a bit odd. I found the look of some of those things to be odd. But For Tom Brady himself, here's the thing. And, you know, former Bears tight end Greg Olsen, he last time the Fox had the Super Bowl, he was the number one game analyst, and he was the one in the booth calling the Super Bowl a few years ago, the last time it was on Fox. Greg Olsen is a better game analyst than Tom Brady. The first year Greg Olsen was doing it, he was not better than Tom Brady is right now. But he had that opportunity to learn on the craft with some of their lower broadcast crews and do a variety of things for a number of different networks, both Fox and the NFL Network, doing studio shows, doing, you know, remote analysis on site at the combine and at training camps, doing a bunch of studio, calling some games, and then worked his way up after Troy Aikman and Joe Buck left, worked his way up to being the number one guy for the NFL on Fox. And by the time he got there, he was well seasoned as a game analyst. And it showed. He works hard at it, and he's very good at it. It's Tom Brady's first year calling games. Not as good as Greg Olsen is right now. He is better than Greg Olsen was in Greg Olsen's first season, in my opinion. What he's run into, though, similar issue that Drew Brees kind of ran into at NBC a few years ago, where NBC immediately put Drew Brees on some of their top shows. Pretty much, if they had football, everything other than the Sunday Night Football booth, you saw Drew Brees on it. And that is a big trial by fire. As great a player as you are, as accustomed to communicating the game as you might be, it can be asking a lot to have those millions upon millions of eyeballs on you, dissecting every word you say, every point that you make about the action that we're all there watching. So Tom Brady, in a game that ended up being a blowout, and those can be sort of difficult to provide succinct analysis, where if one team is dominating everything, you're trying to figure out how do I balance and nuance the way I'm describing things when one team is doing all the good stuff. You know, it just takes a little more time on task to really get good and comfortable and provide that analysis and entertainment, and, you know, not calling the quarterback by his first name the entire game, all those types of things that come with a bit more seasoning to sound like folks expect it to sound. So Tom Brady isn't nearly as bad, I don't think, as folks might indicate, but can he get better? Should he improve at it? Yes. I think the bigger thing will be just figuring out that awkwardness that's there with somebody who's currently a team owner who is also on the number one game crew at one of the NFL's main broadcast partners. We'll see what adjustments end up getting made there. We do know the Bears have been in the process of making adjustments that they will continue to plan on making here with Ben Johnson, trying to get this thing right over at Hallis Hall. Let's take a timeout, come back, and get into things from a Bears perspective, and frankly, just from an overall media perspective, with one of my favorite guests to have on the station here. We will talk to Herb Howard next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can, like, express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Give Chicago a lot of credit. Their ability to land him, to go along with the young quarterback, the young offensive weapon. I saw DJ Moore earlier walking around, and you can just see. He's like, guys are excited.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The voice of former Bears tight end, current NFL analyst, Greg Olson, over on WGN. He's talking through things, working stuff out from his perspective on the Bears. Had a little bit extra Bears perspective here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. I got Herb Howard joining me now on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You can find him on social at HerbHoward411. He's, of course, a Bears beat reporter for the Bigs. Herb, what's happening? How you doing this evening?
Big Ant, what's happening, my brother?
Not much, man. Not much. Appreciate you taking the time to join me. The Super Bowl is now in our rearview mirror. We have seen two of the top organizations in football doing their thing. And I'd say to most of our surprise, not only did the Eagles win, but they dominated the Chiefs. And I think it just shows where they're at right now, because the Chiefs, even though they weren't the dominant roster on their way to the Super Bowl against several teams during the regular season and the postseason, they make a Super Bowl because they've got the Hall of Fame QB and the Hall of Fame coach and the Hall of Fame tight end on his last legs here. But the Eagles are a fantastic organization in their own right and are always in the hunt. So as you're watching that play out with them on the field, the Super Bowl production as a whole, what were your takeaways from the evening?
Yeah, definitely surprised at the sheer dominance of the game. I did not expect the Eagles to come out and just dominate the Chiefs the way they were able to. The way their defensive line played up front was absolutely amazing. I know you had to enjoy just watching defensive line play like that, man. I mean, they just completely took it to that Chiefs offensive line, and they weren't even sending, you know, pressure packages. It was the front four just getting it done down after down after down. I actually thought that Josh Sweat probably should have won MVP of the game. No disrespect Jalen Hurts, he certainly played a phenomenal game. But I thought just the way that defense controlled the game and the plays that Josh Sweat made, he had 2.5 sacks. He also forced one of those interceptions that set him up for a touchdown. So I just thought his dominance in that first half really is what spearheaded them to be able to get out to the lead that they had. So I was just very, very impressed with their front. But the dominance was surprising. I wasn't surprised that the Eagles won. I was actually elated about that. I picked the Eagles to win the Super Bowl on a particular betting site back in September. And so that turned out well for me last night. But the dominance was certainly a surprise.
Yep, like the sound of that, man. When you make a nice bet, you place that wager. Yeah. I'm actually just looking at your Twitter timeline right now. So you put that out there back in January, letting folks know what's happening. So well-placed wager by yourself, no doubt. Was there something particular about the Eagles that you saw during that period of time that made you feel pretty good about them making that run? Or was it more about just kind of, you know, feeling like it was kind of smart money? Or did you see something within them that you definitely thought that was the pick to click?
I mean, you know, back in September, it's all pretty much, you know, smart money. I think it was like plus 1,400 or something. But what I really saw was they just had a complete roster, man. You look at what they have defensively, having Vic Fangio, you know, kind of coordinating that defense and the talent that they have at every level of it. And then you talk about bringing over Saquon Barkley to add to the litany of weapons that they have. I think Jalen Hurts is a really good quarterback. You talk about weapons on the outside and A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. Like, there's a ton of weapons. And then you bring this dynamic running back that's going to force any defense to consistently play eight in the box. And now you got one-on-one somewhere and probably a couple places. And that's just a lot to deal with over the course, you know, of a season. You get into the playoffs, you're trying to figure out, okay, who can we take away? And you got to pick your poison in the way that Saquon Barkley played throughout the entirety of the season, and especially in the postseason. There's no way you can't make him the primary focus. And so now you're talking about trying to cover Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, all of those guys, while also trying to maintain, you know, seven, at least eight in the box. And it's like, you can't really do that. I think it was on Devontae Smith's deep touchdown. I think it came up a little short, but on his deep ball, you had a go route from A.J. Brown on one side and a go route from Smitty on the other side. You can't double them both. And so Jalen just kind of looked back and seen where the safety went and threw the ball to the other side. It was easy pickings. And I think just them having that complete of a roster is what gave me confidence back in September that this was a team that could go all the way.
And that roster itself, it's a bit of a double-edged sword. And I think that last night's teams are really a pretty fitting dichotomy for the discussion of how you build a Super Bowl winner. Because, of course, Andy Reid is a fantastic Hall of Fame coach. He's won a bunch of games with a number of different quarterbacks. But then he also has maybe the most gifted quarterback we've ever seen playing with him now, which is why they keep making the Super Bowl every year.
Right.
But then you have the Eagles and the depth and talent that they have at offensive skill, at defensive skill, on offensive line, on the defensive front. You add a running back into that mix. And, yes, you do have this multidimensional talent at quarterback, who's this not only physical dynamo, but a competitive beast as well in Jalen Hurts. But it does diminish the necessity for Hurts to be exceptional on a regular basis. So in comparing those two rosters, those two franchises, which one do you feel like is a more effective way for the Bears to try to model themselves after?
Well, to me, it's a very simple thing, man. Patrick Mahomes, as you just stated, to me, he's on the Mount Rushmore of all-time NFL quarterbacks. And it's Tom Brady, it's him, and then you can pick whichever other two that you want to put up there for your preference. But to me, the chances of you acquiring a Mount Rushmore caliber quarterback through any means is slim to none. And so you talk about trying to build that model. To me, that's just not really realistic, right? I think you can be better off saying, let me get a quarterback who has a dynamic skill set that can throw the ball, that can run the ball, that's a leader, that's a competitor, a guy that I know I can win with. Is he the best quarterback in the league? No, Jalen Hurts is not. I don't think he ever will be. But you can't tell me that you can't find a way to win with him if you lean into what he does well and then build a program around him. Say, for instance, you were able to acquire, I don't know, a number of first-round draft picks. Say, for instance, you were able to, I don't know, draft a Jalen Carter. Say, for instance, you were able to, I don't know, sign Saquon Barkley in free agency, right? You could build a roster around a quarterback with a similar skill set that would allow you to then be a Super Bowl contender. I think that is much more realistic than the hope of, you know what, I am going to go out and draft the next Mount Rushmore quarterback.
Why do I get the sense that the list of potential transactions you mentioned are all things that feel familiar to opportunities that presented themselves to the current Bears brass?
You know, I just remember, you know, when a particular D-tackle was coming out of Georgia, he was linked to a certain team for the entirety of that process. And, you know, due to a very, very tragic and unfortunate incident, he was able to slide right down to the slot in which that team was drafting. And they said, no, we're not going to go that direction. I also just heard a particular running back who was in the MVP conversation in this past season say, yeah, I was very close to joining that team. And so, you know, some things could have went a different way. And unfortunately, or fortunately, if you're an Eagles fan, they didn't go that way.
And with that in mind, would the situation that Caleb Williams is in right now, how do you believe, if, you know, let's assume Ben Johnson was watching that game closely last night because he loves ball. And so everyone on the planet who loves ball was watching the Super Bowl because that's what we do. So Ben Johnson's watching that game and he's evaluating each roster, each quarterback, Do you believe he's a guy who's looking at that saying, I think I've got and I can shape Caleb Williams into Patrick Mahomes? Or do you think he's watching last night's game and saying, you know what, let me insulate Caleb Williams in a way that can get the same type of production for the quarterback position and the team as what the Eagles get out of Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I think what he's going to do is, you know, do what's best for Caleb Williams' particular skill set. That was the most impressive thing I heard from Coach Johnson in his introductory press conference. Not that I'm going to drop the Detroit Lions playbook in here, going to tear down to the studs and build it around what Caleb and his teammates do well. And I think that's what he's better served to do, not trying, you know, duplicate what Patrick Mahomes does or even what the Eagles have done with Jalen Hurts, but just find out exactly who Caleb Williams is as a football player, what he does well, build it around that, and then work with Ryan Poles to figure out where the holes on this roster are and work diligently to fill those holes as quickly as they possibly can, given the resources that they have. I think they have, you know, a lot of resources to be able to fill a majority of those holes. And I do think that Caleb Williams is a phenomenal young quarterback whose ceiling is very, very high. So it's not, you know, in my opinion, I don't think that they've put themselves in a situation where, you know, they're never going to be able to reach that mountaintop given the path they chose. You know, I laid out a scenario that I thought was more efficient, but I still think they can certainly get there. But I think that Coach Johnson he seems to be really equipped for the path ahead and how he wants to go about building this thing. And fortunately, they do have the resources. You talk about three picks, you know, in the top, they got 41 and 60 something. They got three picks early in the draft, and so they'll have an opportunity to do that. They got $65 million in cap space, and so they've got some resources to be able to flip this thing around. And I think that Coach Johnson should be able to lead them there.
Able to lead them there by when? Like, do you think this coming season? Yeah. What are the expectations in 2025?
Yeah, that's the problem, right? And I do think that in the NFL, we've seen a lot of things be able to go worse at first. So I don't think it's impossible, but I don't think they're going to have a roster that's truly ready to contend with the very best teams in the league by the end of the 25 season. So I think now you're starting to get yourself into a situation where you're saying, okay, now we're at Caleb's third season before maybe we begin to be a legitimate contender. And I don't know if that really means like a Super Bowl pick or anything like that, and the problem with that is that you start to get into the end of some of these contracts that you've already put in place. You talk about DJ Moore and Montez Sweat and Jalen Johnson and whoever else they end up going out to get. And for me, you got contracts that say, let's win right now, let's win in 2024 and 2025, but then you kind of reset this thing because you don't have the infrastructure at the offensive line or the defensive line, and you got a rookie quarterback, and now you're changing coordinators and head coaches. And so now all those decisions, right? Mistakes aren't free. Mistakes cost. And right now it's costing the Bears a little bit of time that kind of may offset the timing of some of their contracts. And so I don't know. I think that's a great question. I think they could be a much improved team this year. Certainly, but I don't think they can be a Super Bowl contender before 2026 at the earliest.
What do you think about the halftime show?
Phenomenal. Oh, my God. The way they thought it out, I mean, they left no stone unturned. I think they simultaneously certainly went about attacking Drake, but they also went about attacking, you know, some of the terrible things that have woven into the fabric of this country. And so I thought they did a phenomenal job of simultaneously entertaining while also making people think critically, having Serena come up there and crib walk,
man.
You know, her being an ex of Drake, that was like the headshot to me in terms of the Drake thing. That was tough, man. That was tough, man. Having the entire stadium screen A minor, like that's they did that very, very well. A++ on the halftime performance.
And I just, you know, I couldn't even told you how things ended with Serena and Drake. You know, I knew it was brief. I knew it was over.
Right.
I don't really study Drake's music enough to know. Like, I know now that he apparently has some diss lyrics in there for Serena's husband or whatever. But Yeah, I see Serena out there like, oh, maybe Drake's a little more of a villain than I've really even researched. If Serena's out there sea-walking on him, then all right, maybe I missed something.
Serena, we talking the GOAT. We talking, right. You know, so this not just some person. This is Serena, where if she don't got to be out here, she got hundreds of millions.
Exactly.
And got countless amount of money. Like, she don't have to be doing this. Like, they are playing in your face, like, to the 10th level. Like, that was mastery.
Yeah, that was really well done on a lot of levels. I mean, it was a combination. You know, it wasn't all about entertainment and focusing on playing all the bangers and waiting for the applause in between each song or whatever. It was layered. It was intricate. I did think it was well done. You know, I wasn't kind of like for me, where I wasn't a huge Bruno Mars guy. Like, I knew Bruno Mars existed. Mm-hmm. I'd heard some of his stuff. He does Super Bowl halftime. Like, all right, let me take a little closer look at Bruno. Now, I took a closer look at Kendrick after the L.A., halftime a couple years ago. Yeah. So I was a little, you know, a little more deeply aware of him then. And then, of course, this past year where he's in all the music headlines. Like, all right, I'm with it. But then after last night, I'm a little more Team Kendrick even now than I was probably 36 hours ago. I got a deeper appreciation for him at this point.
He's put himself into rare air in terms of the historical hip hop conversation right now. Like whether you thought that way of him before, I mean, you get on the biggest platform with that kind of performance. It's something to behold. He really, really put on the show last night. And it just says about him, a lot about him as an artist, as a person, about things that matter to him. And he used the biggest platform in America to put it on display.
Yeah, I was impressed. I was definitely impressed. There's no doubt about that. Well, Herb, as always, man, fantastic stuff. I appreciate you taking the time.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks, man.
All right, now, that's Herb Howard of the Bigs. You can find him on social at Herb Howard, 411 Chicago Bears beat reporter for the Bigs. When we return, I do want to give you a little bit of a look inside, a moment for me that was really enjoyable and how it relates to, what, almost 30 years ago. At this point, a moment that I very much enjoyed with some of my kinsmen, let's call it. Describe that for you next on The Score.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
It is 3rd and 16 for the Chiefs. Facing the staunchest defense of the season, back goes Mahomes. He's rushing, he's looking, it's intercepted! It's intercepted! Running with the football to the 25, down the far side is DeGene, and DeGene is in for a touchdown!
Happy birthday, Cooper DeGene!
Cooper DeGene with a pick for a touchdown!
A pick six in the Super Bowl on your birthday. Happy birthday, kid.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Several former Big Ten stars had huge nights. The Philadelphia Eagles. That one from Cooper DeGene, fellow Iowa Hawkeye. Appreciate WIP for that audio. It's the Philadelphia Eagles radio broadcast crew. And just as a quick note, you did hear several different versions of the way they were pronouncing Cooper's name. You heard Cooper DeGene and then Cooper DeGene and Cooper DeYoon. They were kind of putting a little Creole slang on it. By the end of it, there was the focus of how they were saying his name. And it sort of evolved throughout the various iterations of that touchdown call. But, you know, that was the pick six that put the Eagles up by 3 scores in the first half of that game, and a first half that Philly was certainly in control of, but you could see them truly establish dominance after that moment. You know, at that play, that point in the biggest game of the season, then, you know, you could see like, oh, the Eagles are really ready to blow this thing open. And that was really the moment where you could see that happening with some certainty here. And it's fun because, you know, he's an Iowa Hawkeye like myself and Alex Kuhn both are. And it's good to see fellow Hawkeyes having big moments like that. And so as me and my wife are watching the game with our friends last night. And so, you know, Coop gets that interception and, you know, she knows I've been covering him since he was in high school because he played the All-American Bowl. He's from Otterboro, Iowa, you know, a little town of less than 1,000 people. So I would imagine all 1,000 people from Otterboro, Iowa were jumping up, screaming and everything as that moment was happening on the national stage, the biggest stage in domestic sports here.
Did you see him wear his Letterman jacket into the game last night?
Did he really? Yeah, I missed that.
OABCIG. So for those that don't know, that's 3 schools into one. He played 8-man football. That's Otterbolt, Arthur, Battle Creek, Ida Grove.
Oh, very
for
nice.
For those keeping
very
score
nice
at home.
Yes, sir. Cooper DeGene repping his hometown, repping his high school, where he was just, you know, a remarkable talent there, playing a bunch of different positions. And, you know, from the tiny town that he played and to command the stage in the Big Ten like he did very quickly, and then to now be doing that in the NFL, really cool to watch that play out. And so my wife and I are celebrating. We were up high-fiving, and we're screaming Go Hawks and everything when that's happening. And it did remind me of a moment where I was still – an athlete at the University of Iowa back in 1997 when in the 1998 Super Bowl, a former teammate of mine who had just graduated and went on to his rookie season in the NFL and a former Hawkeye teammate of mine in his first year in the league played in the Super Bowl and had a pretty magical moment in his own right.
45-50, Tim Dwight.
Yes!
It's a
yes!
Race! And
yes!
Tim Dwight, touchdown! Oh, 94 wow. yards!
Now, that was a game where, you know, the Atlanta Falcons got dominated. So it wasn't a moment that, you know, you saw where they were on their way to a Super Bowl victory, But in facing the Denver Broncos, Tim Dwight, a game that Atlanta trailed, really the main highlight, the lone highlight, was that 94-yard kickoff return touchdown that Timmy Dwight, TD, touchdown is what I still call him to this day. But that was a fun time because so many of us who were still in the dorms in Iowa City at that moment, we had just played with Tim the season before, and so you're seeing. And I would imagine there's a lot of guys in Iowa City right now who are watching Cooper DeJean in that moment last night, thinking that was just our teammate last year. There he is in the Super Bowl, commanding that stage, having that moment, and being able to make a decisive play for the Philadelphia Eagles as they win a Super Bowl championship. And so it reminded me of that moment, just seeing a Hawkeye on the international stage making a play and putting the ball in the end zone on the biggest stage in domestic sports. And I remember being in Slater Hall back in Iowa City, and my teammates, we had moved an enormous, at this point, they were still floor model TVs. So that's aging me at that point. Back in, I guess this would have been 98 at this point, you know, it was floor model TVs going on back then to get like just the full, the biggest TVs you could find. They weren't wall hanging TVs back then. It was projection model televisions, and they were big and they were deep. And so in the dorms, there was one of our teammates had enormous floor model television in his dorm room. So we wheeled it out of his room and then wheeled it into kind of the you know, sort of lounge at the end of the hallway. And so we all gathered up in there, and we picked up all the couches and brought them down to the lounge at the end of the hallway. We're watching the Super Bowl just to see what old Timmy Touchdown is going to do. And there we are in the lounge when he runs that. And I mean, you know, Falcons getting blown out by that point, but he got his hands on a kick return, and we watched him run it back for a touchdown. And, you know, we just went bonkers. You know, we were tearing up the lounge because Timmy was running one back for six. And that was a fun moment. And I would imagine that a bunch of the guys who are still on Iowa's football team right now are back in their dorm rooms or their apartments or what have you, and watched that moment with Cooper DeJean last night and had a very similar reaction to the one that we had watching that play out, and then got to enjoy the fact that he actually won the game, as the Eagles did. So it was pretty cool, and it put me in that same frame of mind in seeing that play out, just like it was back in the late 90s, whatever year it was. I think it was 98 when Timmy Dwight ran that back for the Falcons against the Broncos at the end of my freshman year at Iowa. So that was cool. It was very nice to see that for Cooper DeJean. Fantastic rookie season that he's had after starting the year off injured and then being able to get healthy, getting into the lineup, playing in Vic Fangio's defense, and he's showing what a stellar football player he has the potential to keep being for the Eagles. And as one quick note before our timeout, so I know a bunch of Iowa fans, I mean, the whole, you know, Cooper DeJean, that's the same guy from the, you know, it wasn't a fair catch, that whole thing from the Iowa-Minnesota game. It's probably amongst the most eyeballs that I've had on a broadcast I've done. Is, you know, several million people ended up watching the broadcast a couple of years ago between Iowa and Minnesota, a game I called with another fellow Hawkeye, Paul Burmeister. We were on that broadcast together, and Iowa had a chance to win the game off Cooper DeJean's punt return, and it went for a touchdown, and they said he made an invalid fair catch signal. And then, of course, that touchdown came off the board, and Iowa's offense went backwards because that's what Iowa's offense did at that point in that particular season. So same Cooper DeJean, and, you know, he's been on big broadcasts before. I've certainly called some of them on NBC, but none bigger than what he did last night. So shout out to Cooper DeJean, and go Hawks. When we return, another Iowan. It's going to be an Iowa-centric portion of the show here, but one guy who was on the station earlier today, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, gave his breakdown on what happened in the Super Bowl. I really liked a lot of what he had to say. So we'll take a quick timeout, come back, and you'll hear directly from a Hall of Famer on his thoughts from the Super Bowl and even a bit of how it relates to the Bears. We'll hear from Kurt Warner next on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.